And we're coming to the end of the series that we've had over the last few months, looking at Genesis chapters 1 to 11, thinking about our origins and our identity as human beings. And there's been so much in these passages to encourage us, and I think not least in seeing how all of it points to Jesus. We were thinking a few weeks ago about that passage in 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul says that all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus. And that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Now that, of course, means that the promises that God made to Abram, or Abraham, also find their fulfillment in Jesus. That then means that we, as the people of Jesus Christ, we are included in those promises. We thought about this again a little last week in Galatians 3. Paul writes that, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons and daughters of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And Paul goes on, "In Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." So if we think about this in relation to those specific promises, in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, God says, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All this fulfilled in Christ is given to us. We share in the blessing to Abraham that extends to all the families of the earth. So those who recognize God's blessing on us, on the church, can share in that blessing. Those who oppose God's purposes through the church, their opposition will not succeed. They will be thwarted. Add into that the promises that we heard in Genesis 17, a land that will be an eternal inheritance. If we think about Hebrews 11, it reminds us that that land is the better heavenly country that is our destination. But we also have in Genesis 17 that incredible privilege of saying that the living God is our God and we are his people. But if we're going to say that we can enjoy these amazing blessings, these privileges that come with God's promises to Abraham, we must also accept that they come with a degree of responsibility. A responsibility that we also share. Now, it's true that in both those passages we heard in Genesis 12 and 17, Abraham's responsibility is not the primary emphasis. But it's implied. God tells Abraham that he will make him to be a blessing. There's clearly a level of activity on Abraham's part. God says that he will make Abraham fruitful. Again, Abraham has a role to play. So if we apply this to ourselves, we have to recognize that we have been blessed in order that we might be a blessing. And if that blessing comes to us through Jesus Christ, in whom all God's promises are yes to us, then we become a blessing through Jesus Christ, by sharing Jesus Christ. The blessing comes through him to us and goes from us as we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Take that promise of fruitfulness again, of offspring. Again, it's one of those themes that we've seen through these first chapters of Genesis. And the New Testament sees the offspring of Abraham as the church, as the people of faith. Well, how does that faith come? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In the New Testament, God's people are described variously as ministers, ministers of the new covenant, ministers of the gospel, ministers of Christ. It's got nothing to do with my role as a pastor. It is the role of each one of us. We are ministers of the gospel. This is the blessing that we have received. So this is the blessing that we are to share. And our primary means of doing so is by speaking the word of God, by speaking of Jesus and living lives of faith. We've seen what Abraham's faith was and Noah's faith. Faith is hearing, believing, and obeying the word of God. And of course, in the context of Genesis, it's not just fulfilling that promise and call to Abraham. This goes way back to chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. The purpose that we have been given of living as God's stewards, as representatives on earth, being fruitful, exercising God's gracious rule. And it is a huge responsibility that we are given here. It is blessing beyond our imagining, but it is also a great responsibility. And at times, it can seem overwhelming. We look at our lives and wonder how on earth we, with our weakness in the face of temptation, with our limited energies and abilities and understanding, how could we ever carry such a task of being that blessing to the world? But we have to remember that we have even greater resources than Abraham had. Abraham heard the word of God and believed it, purely on the basis that God had spoken. For him, that was enough. Now, I found it helpful this week just thinking about this in terms of the Trinity. So when we think of God speaking, in Scripture generally we are thinking of the Father. It is the Father who speaks. Jesus himself, he spoke about how he only said what the Father was saying. It is the Father who speaks. So Abraham's one resource, if you like, is the word of the Father. But we have Jesus. We are living this side of the cross and the resurrection and ascension. We can see that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's word to Abraham, the fulfillment of the whole of the Old Testament. We know that Jesus fulfills that promise of crushing the serpent, that promise that Noah carried of rest. We see in Jesus how God brings that blessing that we're to take to the world. And of course we have the Spirit. The life and power of God living within us, equipping us with everything necessary for life and godliness, with all that we need to be a blessing. It is within us. So we share in the blessing that Abraham received. We share in that call to take the blessing to the world, but the triune God has given us even greater resources to fulfill that call. And so we can have faith like Abraham did. Last week, I quoted from a Jewish scholar around a century before Jesus, Philo of Alexandria, and this quote is worth saying again. He said that Abraham considered the things not present as beyond question already present by reason of the sure steadfastness of him that promised them. Abraham considered the things not present as beyond question already present by reason of the sure steadfastness of him that promised them. When God promises something, we can live as if it's already done. as if it is already here, because God has promised it. Now, of course, that applies to our personal faith, our salvation, our eternal life, our full redemption and transformation. They are already done, even though we don't yet see them fully. But I think we can also apply it to our witness. We don't know when we go and share the gospel. We don't know what the outcome of that will be in a particular individual's life. We don't know whether or not particular individuals will come to faith in Jesus Christ. But we do know that the declaration and the demonstration of the gospel is never in vain. Think about what we read in Revelation 5, this amazing song of the living creatures and the elders singing to Jesus. And they said, "You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Now, when John wrote that, there were not people from every tribe and language and people there in heaven praising God. But those words of praise came from the living creatures and the elders as if it was already done. As if it was the reality that was there at that time. And we see it again, Revelation 7. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Again, John is looking forward. He is seeing something that will be, but because it is God's purpose, because it is God's promise, it is as sure as if it already is. We can view this thing of the nations praising God, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation praising God in heaven. We can view this thing, though it is not yet present, as if it was already present. By reason, as that Jewish scholar said, of the sure steadfastness of him that promised it. So the work of proclaiming the gospel, of sowing the seed, it is never in vain, because God is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who brings the growth. It is his word that brings life as the Spirit works in those who hear it. There are many in this world who have not heard. There are many people and places in the world where the gospel has not been heard or barely been sown. And yet we can be sure that God will finish the work he's begun. God will gather to himself all whom he has called from all corners of the world. And those who go out to share the gospel, we will know the blessing of seeing that glorious fruit. The sureness of the work of the gospel, that certainty that God will bring in all whom he has called and chosen from every tribe and language and people and nation, it is, of course, not a reason for us to be complacent. It is not that we say, well, God's going to do it so he can get on and do it without us. That's not the message of Scripture. We are still called to declare and display the gospel. God says, no, it is through the church that I will accomplish this. It is through your witness that I will do this. And so when we see the certainty of God's promise and the sureness of this work, what it gives us is a reason to do it with ever more boldness and vigor and joy, because we know that God will accomplish his purposes through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can go out as ministers of the gospel as witnesses, as disciples who are sent to make disciples, because it is God's word and it is God's work. We can go with faith, hearing, believing, obeying, and speaking the word of God, because he will fulfill his purposes. Let's finish with the word of God spoken through Isaiah in Isaiah 55, words many of us know well. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Let's pray. Father God, it is exciting when we stop and think about your purposes for the world. It's exciting when we hear of the work that's going on in Tunisia. It's exciting when we think about partners who are out taking the gospel to different places around the world. Lord, even as we think about Afghanistan, it is encouraging to us to hear your word and to know that even in Afghanistan, your word will bear fruit. To know that the proclaiming of the gospel in that country will, even if it is only at the last day, it will prove not to have been in vain. Lord, what a wonderful hope this is, and what a wonderful privilege to share in the proclaiming of the gospel. Lord, help us to have that same excitement about doing it on our own doorsteps. We cannot know what will happen when we speak the gospel to our friends and family and neighbours. Lord, we don't know if they will come to you or not, but we do know that your word will bear fruit. Help us, Lord, to take hold of that promise, to recognise that when you speak of your word going out from your mouth, Lord, we are those through whom you speak today as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So encourage us, excite us, Lord, and send us out as disciples who long to make disciples. Lord, as we go, we pray that you would do your work as your gospel is proclaimed here in Tunisia, around the world, to your glory. Amen.